Once upon a time, in an age of forests and firelights, our ancestors were wise to the spectrum of human identity. Among the fairy tales and myths they told were stories of glass coffins and marble statues, eunuchs and androgynes, chaste marriages and bodily transformations, symbolic stories that hint at other identities, tales of asexuality. This is the Asexual Fairy Tales Podcast, and I'm your storyteller, Elizabeth Hopkinson. Each month, I'll be reading you another story from my books of asexual fairy tales. Some of these are old tales of myth and legend, in which I first found representation for my asexual identity. Others are original stories by me, based on traditional motifs. It's a personal selection, but I hope you find something in it that speaks to you too. So, sit back, if you are able, relax, and enjoy another asexual fairy tale. Hello and welcome again to Asexual Fairy Tales. This is the last story in our first season. It's the last story in the first original book, Asexual Fairy Tales. So I'm not sure, I might take a little break in between series, we'll see what we think. But you can always tell me what you think of the stories. You can email me at hopkinson.hiddengrove@gmail.com, and you can interact with me on Twitter at hidden_grove and tell me what you think of the stories. This final story, The Lost Children of Lorenwald, is an original tale by me that combines together three source stories: the Greek myth of the nymph Daphne, who turns into a tree in order to escape the amorous pursuit of the god Apollo. In The Lost Children of Lorenwald, I play with that idea. I combine it with motifs from The Pied Piper of Hamelin, which you'll know, and a group of fairy tales known as The Singing Bones, in which a victim's remains cry out for justice. By contrast with some traditional fairy tales, I wanted to create a wholly positive portrayal of asexuality in this story, one that would be reassuring to the asexual community and to family and friends. The central figure of the story singer in this tale emphasises the importance of speaking out, of telling our story, in order that others might not feel alone. The Lost Children of Lorenwald first appeared in The Forgotten and the Fantastical Three in 2017, and just to give you a quick trigger warning, it does contain mention of lost children, obviously, child mortality and child-parent relationships. Every forest tells a story. Broadleaf or pine, sunny or tangled, autumn or spring. Each forest has its own unique song to sing, its own tale to tell. And it is the craft of the story singer to gather those tales and sing them to whoever will listen. It was neither autumn nor spring when I came to Lorenwald, but the lazy end of summer, when fruits hang heavy on the raspberry canes and the sunset sky is abuzz with tiny wings. I was too early for the cider harvest, but I drank my small beer in the common room of the tumble-down inn and nodded my thanks for the plate of cheese and black bread. "What brings you to these parts, Auntie?" The hostess wiped her hands on her apron and watched me eat with scrutiny, no doubt waiting for my reaction to her home baking. I smiled. In this part of the country, every woman of my age was Auntie. Once I'd been hailed as daughter, but those days were far behind me. A few more years and I would be Gamma. "I go into the forest to collect songs," I said. "I'll give you a tale or two from other parts after supper." I patted the hurdy-gurdy that lay on the bench beside me. "I expect you don't get news very often in this neighbourhood." In most local taverns, this offer was usually met with a roar of approval, along with requests for popular ballads and love songs. Here, the only sound was the thunk of a tankard on the table, as every pair of eyes in the room fixed a cold stare in my direction. Even the wasps seemed to stop buzzing. "No one goes into the Lorenwald," said the host, his voice like granite. By order of the village council, it is a cursed place. Forgive me, I don't mean to cause offence. I took care to smile as I spoke. But I have walked many, many woods in my time. I know their ways as well as you know the art of brewing. Most supposed curses and hauntings are simply a misunderstanding of nature's ways. I have never encountered anything more dangerous than a boar or a wolf, and I'm well equipped to deal with those. I showed the horn and knife at my belt. The host's expression never changed. No one goes into the Lorenwald, he said. We lost our children there. Children get lost in the woods. It happens. In their innocence they stray from the path, only to fall foul of the elements, wild beasts or, God forbid, unscrupulous humans. When it happens, it is a tragedy that can tear out the heart of a community. I know that well enough not to press the host and hostess any further that night. But to avoid the forest because of that tragedy were to steal off part of the heart and refuse to let it grow again. I could not leave the village without at least trying to set it on the road to healing. So I told the hostess I would stay a few nights, and I offered simple songs for my keep. Harvest carols that fitted with the season, full of fruitfulness and plenty. Tales of sorrow would keep for now. In the morning I went to the churchyard. I wandered among the graves in the golden glow of dawn. There were child graves, as there always are. Such is the way of life. But there was nothing that spoke of unquiet rest or the kind of communal trauma I had sensed in the common room. When the sun became hot, I retreated to the cool and shade of the church. In most ways, it was like other country churches in these parts. Whitewashed walls, a covered pulpit, simple pews. But between two of the windows was a memorial plaque in bas-relief, the like of which I had never seen in any church. It depicted youths and maidens dancing, as they might do on a May morning, their heads crowned with flowers. On one side they were smiling, showing coy pleasure in each other's charms, but on the other side their expressions became glassy. Trees plucked at their clothes and overshadowed their heads with branches. At the extreme edge of the picture the young people could no longer be seen. A tangle of trees hid them from sight. Beneath the image was a simple inscription: To the children of Lorbeerwald, now called Lorenwald. The forest took them. Over the next few days I questioned people as subtly as I could. A chat with old wives as we washed our clothes together at the village well. A tale of old times with a blacksmith's aged father, in exchange for news of distant lands. Some were as stony as the tavern host, refusing to speak if I so much as mentioned the forest. With others a torrent of words gushed forth as if their mouths had been dammed for years. A beloved daughter, a treasured son. When the young people had taken to the woods on May Day, as young folk did, their child had left the group, alone, never to return. It was 30 years ago. 36. 25. One woman whispered in my ear that her daughter had been the last, 19 summers ago. That was the year the village council had declared the forest a forbidden place. A man, not yet 30, showed me the brand on his left hand that he'd received for snaring rabbits. He'd only been trying to feed his family, he told me. His daughter could be out picking berries in the Lorenwald now, were it not for the council's ban. That evening at dusk I crept as close to the eaves of the Lorenwald as I could without being seen. Unlike the depiction on the church plaque, the trees were smooth-barked and graceful, with wide clearings in between. The last of the day's sunshine cast golden pools of light on the forest floor. The perfect spot for dancing, and for other pleasures that might follow. I smiled. My young youth seemed very distant now, but I'd not forgotten. Perhaps the young people had simply run away together. A secret tryst in the woods, perhaps with youngsters from a neighbouring village, and then away to a new life. This did not seem the kind of forest where a youngster could lose their way, especially a local lass or lad familiar with its paths. I crept closer. Already I could sense the edges of a song, reaching out towards me. There was peace in its voice, stillness, serenity. I frowned, struggling to catch it. Another level was hidden behind the first, older, deeper. A struggle? Fear? Flight? If only I knew more. A twig cracked behind me. "Curfew has already tolled, Auntie. It's time you were asleep in bed." The host's face was a stony mask. I nodded my head and followed him back to the inn. I had to get into the wood. A forest song can only be heard when you stand under its canopy, its earth under your feet, its scent in your nostrils. I waited until the sky had turned to the mauves and sapphires of a summer's night, and the villagers were all abed. They were country folk, working hard and rising early, hoping to make the most of the morning's light. They would sleep soundly. I took a dark lantern, checked the knife and horn at my belt, and made my way along the overgrown path to the Lorevelt. A few milky stars showed in the deep blue overhead. It was an enchanted night, a night made for young lovers. The song I'd heard on the eaves of the wood grew stronger as I walked beneath its shade. Peace, fulfilment, freedom. This was not a story that had ended in tragedy, whatever the church plaque said. But there was something else that had come before, something the youngsters had come to the wood to escape. They had begged the trees to take them in. Had I heard that aright? Gently I put my hand on the grey trunk of an ash tree. The energy beneath my palm was palpable. Tell them. Was I imagining these words? Make them understand. Our choice. Our lives. I'd never felt energy so powerful. Was the spirit of the lost children somehow within these trees? I moved my hand to a neighbouring trunk. The song was the same. Tell them we miss them. Make them understand, story singer. The cry was becoming more urgent. Make them understand what? That the children of the Lorenwald had gone. Where? Tell them this is who we are. There was a vibration in the ground, a rustle of foliage in the distance. Someone was coming. Tell them, story singer. I had minutes left. I took up my knife and cut a dry branch from the base of the trunk. Not a moment too soon. Lights were bobbing through the forest. A few breaths later and I could see the faces of the host and several greybeards, stern face beneath their hoods. "You will come with us, story singer," the host said. "You will pay the price for breaking our law." The branch in my hand wailed. A court had been set up in the inn yard. The host and six others, the village council, I presumed, sat at a long bench at one end. The other villagers sat at tables with ale mugs or watched from the stables. Playing children were shushed and scolded. This was a serious matter, and most of the faces showed it. I could hear my own heartbeat as I rose to give my defence. The penalty for entering the wood was branding. Not only would I be unable to play an instrument for months, but the brand on my palm would mark me out as a criminal wherever I went. I would lose the only livelihood I had. I toyed with a dry branch in my hand. All night I'd been whittling away at it, as much to keep away fears as for any notion of how I might use it. It now had the form of a rustic flute, hollow inside with holes for mouth and fingers. A speaking flute. I had heard of such things in tales, but could a makeshift flute speak in such a way that any but a story singer could hear it? I licked my dry lips. "My good host, members of the council, good people of Lorenwald." As a story singer I had been trained to make my voice carry, and now every head lifted. "I will not make excuses for myself. I know I broke your rules. I simply ask that you pay attention to the voices of your own children, who left this village for the sanctuary of the Lorenwald. They were not stolen from you, as you suppose. Neither are they far from you now. Hear their song." I put the flute to my lips and breathed life into the dry wood. I barely knew what I expected to hear, but the voice that came forth was one I will never forget. sorrowful and serene, gentle and pure. It was the voice of the forest itself. Forgive us, dear parents, if you cannot understand. We grew up among you, but you never truly saw us. While our companions longed to unite with each other as one flesh, we wished only to preserve the intactness of our own bodies. When you spoke of your hopes and plans for our marriages, we feared the bridal chamber. When the rites of May drew others to take our hands, to speak to us with words of desire, we were afraid. We begged the sheltering forest to let us in. Our prayers were answered. Before our pursuers could catch us, our bodies were ringed with bark, our fingers turned to foliage. We became free to live our lives intact, graceful and growing. Do not reject us, dear parents. Do not forsake us, although we are changed. Walk among us once more. We will shelter you. In life and death, we will watch over you. We are your sons and daughters. Haldis, Gyrda, Armand, Nordica, Elrod. As the litany of names sang out, one after another of the villagers crossed themselves, fell to their knees, wept on each other's shoulders. When the song ended, I lowered my flute and was silent. I looked at the host. He sat with his head in his hands, sobbing like a baby. I left Lorenwald a few days later, my pack on my back and my knife at my belt. I took the road down the valley and headed for the next village, eager to welcome a story singer. But not before I had witnessed a sight I will treasure all my days. Men and women, their hair grey with age, walking under the eaves of the Lorenwald. Some walked hand in hand as couples, others walked singly and alone. Most had tears in their eyes. I saw a light of recognition in their faces as each approached a particular tree. I saw them embrace the grey-green trunks, kiss their lost children, sit beneath their shady boughs. Before I left, many an aged parent had taken up the strains of an old lullaby or well-loved tale. It will be many years before I visit Lorenwald again. When I do, the villagers will no doubt call me Gamma. The old folks I left beneath the trees may well lie buried under them. But I will not forget what happened here, when the lost children were found once more. Thank you for listening to Asexual Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast. If you really enjoyed it and want to buy me a coffee, you can do that at ko-fi.com/ElizabethHopkinson48513. Don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at hidden_grove, or go to my website elizabethhopkinson.uk, where you'll find links to all my books. All the links are in the episode description. I really appreciate all your support. Stay safe and keep reading.